Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. For this week's episode, Megan and I are going to be recapping our U.S. Virgin Islands trip. We also did vlog the trip, and so the first vlog is up by the time you guys are listening to this, with the second vlog
coming up this weekend. We will jump into kind of what we did day to day, how traveling went, what our overall thoughts were, and if we'd recommend going or any tips and tricks we might have. Before we do that, we are going to do our weekly spotlight and our book update. I feel like it's been a while since we podcasted.
It has. We haven't podcasted since before our trip. So my weekly spotlight is probably just the trip.
I thought you were going to say you didn't work today.
I didn't work today, which was an unexpected. I mean, I also didn't get paid. You know, today I didn't take any PTO, but we have low census, and with productivity, essentially they didn't want people working two half days. And so me and my other PT that I work with are alternating taking a day off this week. So it was kind of nice. I mean, I didn't get paid. So it's that part's not nice, but
sometimes I'm
I don't care. Okay. No, don't worry about it.
I don't care. My weekly spotlight is, I feel I'm excited. We were able to do a little bit more painting and stuff for the basement again. Now that we're back from our trip, especially this weekend, we're going to do a lot related to the basement, but I'm just excited and itching to get going on that some more. I want to get the projector hung up, which hopefully we can do this weekend. We're going to get our accent wall put up and baseboards on. I'm really excited. And I'm the vision, because after this weekend, it's time to do the decorating, basically.
Yeah. We've got our couch ordered, which isn't supposed to come for probably another 2 weeks, unfortunately. But that'll be a big thing. And then it's it sucks because we have to wait for the couch before we can really decide what we want to do with the back seating area. Granted, we can work on the wall decor and other stuff too. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do for the library, that we still have no idea really what we're doing.
But I'm just very excited about it. And we're doing different episodes related to the basement. Obviously, too. We've posted 2 already. So if you guys have any interest in interior design or want to see what's going on down there, you could go watch the 2 videos we already have posted. And then hopefully this weekend we'll it still won't be up for a few weeks, but we're obviously going to be recording what we do this weekend. And that'll be the next episode.
I feel lately we've been recording so many videos that we are ongoing processes. Yeah.
True. And it can we're in the middle of recording a 5-star book video.
I'm done with that, thank God.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get 5 stars ever again. That's what it feels like. I don't know if I'm going to get 5 stars for that video before it goes live.
TBD. So, send Megan 5-star book recs, because she probably will still not have finished by the time this video
seriously
goes up.
Yeah.
What was your weekly spotlight?
Basement stuff.
Oh, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
We can give a nice hefty book update because we did a lot of reading on this trip. So I was reading The Serpent and the Wings of Night prior to going on vacation, and then I finished it on the plane ride down to the Virgin Islands. Gave it 4 stars. Really enjoyed it. It was my first Omegaverse fantasy, which to my understanding is just vampires. If I'm wrong, sorry, maybe it's werewolves too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I don't. I saw a TikTok explaining it, but then everyone usually is look it up.
And then I'm like, no. I don't really know. It just had vampires in it, is what I'm saying. It reminded me of Powerless. I still like Powerless more. But there is a sequel, so I'll probably read the sequel at some point. I like the two main characters. It was fun. And then we did our little book club book down there. I read both my book
club. By book club, she means like just.
I use that term loosely. We did the little vacation book club. So we all read What Happens in Paradise by Ellen Hildebrand. That's a sequel to Winter in Paradise. We read it because it takes place in the Virgin Islands.
I will say, as someone who had never read any of Ellen's books prior Megan thinks to this any, trip,
anything is romance.
Well, I'm just kind of so shocked that like that was the cover for like the books that we read.
I mean, there's no male like, character on the books.
Huh?
Like, I feel like if it's a romance, that would like imply.
I just have feel like I mean, male and nothing on the cover implies like, oh, this is this character from the book. It just like is a woman relaxing on the beach, but I never felt like this is, must be Irene or this That's must be Ayers, which is just odd to me because it's just a woman on the beach and that's like all her covers too. So it's interesting. I probably will read more of her books in the future, but I'm just like interested like what other vibes or things she writes. Are they all mystery? Are they all?
I imagine they're all very similar. That's the vibe that I get. I mean, the first two books, they're both like good books, like carbon copies of one another. Like it was essentially the same book on repeat.
It was basically like you're watching like a TV show where like not a lot happens, but like you're just enjoying the cast anyways and the dynamic. So
yeah. So there's one more book in that trilogy. Maggie did read that one and finished it like at the end of the trip, I think, or maybe when she got back. Plane. I don't know.
Or yeah.
She actually gave that one like the lowest rating, which is weird because I thought she was enjoying it the most. So I don't know.
She was maybe
she was dissatisfied with the ending. Who knows? And then I also read Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. It's his autobiography. I had to read excerpts from his memoir for like a humor class that I took for college a couple years ago. And like when I was reading those excerpts, I was like, this is really good. Like I should read the book. And that's just like been years. In the back of my mind for years at this point. So I finally read it. I enjoyed it. It's a pretty quick, like short read. It's less than 300 pages. And so I've decided I don't rate memoirs because who am I to judge someone's life? But that being said, like if I were to like rate enjoyment wise, like it was like, you know, on par with like a 4 to 5 star read. Like it was very quick. He's a pretty good storyteller. He's obviously a comedian. And so like, while he's like telling you like this crazy, like difficult stuff that you went through in his childhood, like he tells it like in a way that makes it light and digestible. So it was very good. Highly recommend. And the last book that we actually both read, and then you can talk about any other books that you read.
You could also say what you're reading now.
True.
True, true.
True. We have so many things we can talk about. That's why we podcast. We read our actual book club book, The Fury. I don't know if this has been confusing for some people who like watch or listen to us, because I feel like we've mentioned like book club stuff and people are like, I've seen like one or two people being like, how do we join the book club?
Book club?
Yeah. If you guys want, I won't make no promises. This has been
something I've thought of prior, but like we've made nothing.
We are currently making no promises.
But like there is an option where I think on Spotify somehow we could make like a confidential or like, I don't know what, if anything, we would do for like, oh, pay $1 a month or however much to like be included in something like that. But like I've toyed around with the idea a little bit for our reader.
Let us know if you're interested, because I know we've got some readers that listen. Let us know if you're interested in any like other like more niche. Do I say that word incorrectly?
I don't know.
Everyone's always like, it's niche, and I'm like, I don't like how that sounds, so I will keep saying niche. But if you are a reader and you want like book related content, or you have like ideas for us for like how we can expand upon that for you guys, let us know. We're open. But anyways, like Megan was saying, this is our own personal, in-person, like with friends book club that we started. So we're reading The Fury by Alex Michaelides. And I am very well aware, like I read it at 5 stars, shockingly. And the Goodreads reviews are like probably like 3.5 average maybe. And so I was going in with pretty low expectations. And I'm well aware that like I think everyone probably is going to come to the book club like, it was okay. And I'm like, I thought it was so fun. And like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I read the whole thing in a day.
That says something. It was a quick read. I also read that one. I give it 4 out of 5 stars. I do think...
did you like this one or The Maidens more?
I still liked The Maidens more.
Okay. See, I like this one more, obviously.
I... You know, definitely feel like it'll be fun to talk about with people because I think that Sierra and I specifically thought the narrator reminded us of like a TV character that we like that's kind of not likable. They would give
it kind of a spoil like if we told you who reminded and you. Because you don't get the vibe right away, I don't feel.
And so knowing that we were kind of envisioning the narrator as this person for like half of the book, I feel like helped make it so we were enjoying the book more. Which obviously if people come to book club and they didn't think that, which like it may or may not have changed anything for other people too. But it'll be fun to discuss. Otherwise, I do think part of the reason we chose the book though too is because of the iffy reviews.
Right. I do think that people's enjoyment or like what they rate the book is going to be like if they liked or disliked the narrator because it's the narrator is he's writing the book that you're reading is how it's written.
It is kind of like a mystery thriller, but like it's not as like, wow, oh my God, did not see that coming.
Yeah.
You kind of start, I feel like he doesn't market it as that either.
That's like literally, author. I feel like this is where like also the disconnect will come in. It's like literally in the first couple pages, he's like, this is not a whodunit, it's a whydunit. And so I feel like that disconnect, depending on how you felt about that, will also impact how you enjoy
my order of books for Alex Michaelides is 1, Silent Patient. I don't know if he's honestly ever going to top that book, which, like, how sad for a debut novel for, like, you to start.
He's not the first person to have done that type of reveal, though.
And then The Maidens, then The Fury. So we've gone down with each one.
I like The Fury more than The Maidens, so.
And then you're currently reading.
And then I'm currently reading Golden Sun by Pierce Brown. It's the second book in Red Rising. Honestly, I'm glad that you reminded me to, like, bring this up because I must talk about this book. I'm still enjoying it, but I felt this way, I think, about reading Red Rising, and I continue to feel this way reading Golden Sun. I don't know if the author's writing style disconnects from myself. I don't know if the world building is either not well done enough or if I'm just stupid. That is entirely a possibility. But like he says, like all these types of people, there's so many people that it's like hard to keep track of the people in the first place. There's literally like a character list of like the characters, which kind of helps, but it's also been a long time since I read the first book that I had to go back and like look at recaps and be like, is this person good, is this person bad, I don't remember, because people like will switch alliances and stuff. But like quite literally, this isn't a spoiler, but like he almost writes things so like robotically is not the right word, because like it just feels like everything's so
monotonous,
like big words, like kind of confusing language, where like someone's arm quite literally got cut off, and I don't think I realized that until like pages later. I was like, oh, that's what happened?
Like, why don't you just say his arm got cut off?
Yeah. And like, I'm quite literally, as I'm reading this, I have the Wikipedia Golden Sun plot summary pulled up, and I'm like, I got that, right? Like, I got everything.
Oh, I don't think I could do that.
I'm like, okay, good, we're good. And I should make sure I don't scroll far enough where I
I don't think I could do that
for myself. I did actually spoil myself. Where I think like, I was reading too far, and I was like, and then so-and-so died, and I was like, oh, oops.
I think I did like a little bit of that with like the three body problem, because like this was the book that I tried reading a couple months ago, and then I was like only reading it at night and like actively falling asleep. I'm trying to read the book, and so I was like 30 pages in, but like you could ask me now what happened in those 30 pages. I have no idea what happened in 30 pages. And I think I was trying to look stuff up to be like, what happens in chapter 1 or 2 or whatever of the three body problem?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh? So then I was like, I need to leave this alone for a bit.
You know, I still can't believe you have Crime and Punishment still like in your drawer upstairs. And the second that you bought that, I was like, no offense, you are not reading that. You, of all people, like if anything, maybe I would read that. And I knew I wouldn't read that. So I was like, no offense, you will never read that.
Yeah.
And we've been meaning to give it away to Half Price Books. Sell it away.
Yeah, just like it's hidden in my nightstand drawer. And so when we were collecting books to go to Half Price Books, I forgot about it. I honestly, when we went to Half Price Books, I was expecting to be gypped for my money. Like they would do like Plato's Closet or something. But like, I don't think I was expecting to be that gypped. But what was I to do? Like say... No, I'll take these books that I don't care about. We got, I swear we brought in at least like 7 books and they gave us like $5 for all of them. And we were like,
they're like, yeah, okay. Take it or leave it. You honestly could probably sell like on Facebook and get more money.
We should sell a bundle.
You know, if we wanted to.
Okay, now I can do my books.
Hold on, I just one more thought on Red Rising.
Are you gonna keep reading the series?
There's only one more like in the trilogy. Like I probably maybe would finish the trilogy.
You tap out after the trilogy.
And then I'm like, you know what? Iron, Gold, or whatever it is, and like the other book, I know there's 2 books. You guys can have it. It's all yours. I feel left out because I know like Haley Pham is one person that I know like loves the series and gave it like 5 stars. And I'm just like, am I
maybe
just
she
stupid?
Also gave The Hobbit 5 stars. Maybe like,
am I just
is it
stupid?
The Hobbit and Red Rising? Is there a crossover between the people that like those books?
So I don't know. TBD. I mean, I definitely am going to finish this book. So I'm going to finish it by Friday, hopefully. And then if I do decide to read Morningstar, that probably again won't be for a while. I'll probably like recap the entire book that I've read so far. And yeah. I also just like the characters, like I don't connect to the characters because like I just feel so disconnected from like the world and like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. So like there's like supposed to be like a love interest and I'm like, I don't really honestly care if you guys end up together because like.
There's no stake in the game for
me. Yeah. I don't feel for either of you. Anyways.
I started off and I think I last spoke to you guys when I was reading Vicious by V.E. Schwab and I did end up finishing that book. I give it 4 out of 5 stars. I did enjoy it and will tentatively plan on continuing the series. How many books are in that series?
Just 2. Okay. It's just a duology.
It wasn't like anything that like stood out a whole lot.
What do you think of the ending though? Wasn't that like all kind of cool how it came together?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just like no thoughts, head empty. Like as it's unfolding, I'm like, oh my God, that's so smart.
Or maybe I saw it coming.
I don't know.
I thought it was smart and well done.
Smart and well.
So, read that. I read Winter in Paradise and What Happens in Paradise, as we already talked about. I rated both of those 4 out of 5 stars as well. And then I read The Fury.
When you finish your book thing, I have a question.
And then I am now reading Crooked Kingdom, which is the 2nd book in the Six of Crows series. I will say, this
is that
series,
just a duology?
Yes, I believe so. I thought I was going to be like really jumping back into a world that I was like not going to remember very well. And it kind of came back to be easier than I was expecting. And I feel like I'm doing a better job already. And like through this book, keeping track of like, because there's quite a few characters, like the main core friend group is like 6 people. And like, so that's kind of a lot of people. And they have like different... Some of them have special gifts. Some of them don't. There are a lot of like different, I don't know if they're ethnicities or nationalities or both like mentioned in the book, but they all like reside in this one area.
Have
so,
you
like,
looked up any like
having...
fan art?
I did after the first book to try and like solidify stuff in my mind. So like I have a better visualization of like what the people look like. There's not any like great fan art. It's like okay. From what I could tell.
Like,
but
Agatar is, like, solidified,
I've seen better,
you know?
I've seen, what I thought was helpful was, like, I've seen people make
I was gonna
of,
try,
like,
that
edits of
me.
The vibe of yeah. Six of Crows.
That just reminded me. I was gonna try and look up Red Rising fan art, because I was like, I need help. I need someone to help me visualize this.
So, I am enjoying it. I'm a little more than halfway through that book right now. I'm hoping to finish it by the end of the week, and I don't think it's gonna be a 5 stars. I don't even know if it's gonna be like anything higher than a 4 stars, but I am liking this one more than the first one, I think. I think that the conflict in this book, like I am following it more and it makes more sense to me than what we were doing in the first book. So that's helping. And then I got a whole list of books upcoming that I wanna read.
We just went book shopping.
Swift and Saddle, I just purchased that. I think that's
I also
be, like,
got
that
the-
could be that literally I'm gonna like, set expectations are gonna be up here and then like I'm gonna ruin it for myself.
Like if
but I'm
if
like
if
that
you the vibes
of
Fine and Dusted, then like you might just elevate it to a 5.
Yeah,
because that's what you need right now.
Yeah,
I read
we'll
your
see,
mind.
We'll see. That's by Lila Sage. It's the 2nd book in Done and Dusted, which is like a book that I mean I don't think about it often, but like I loved that book.
I think about the feeling I got when I read it.
Yeah.
It's funny. Megan and I we went book shopping. We got 4 books all together, 2 of which we've already read, but you know. I had to get Happy Place paperback because my Emily Henry shrine needed to be complete. I've literally waited I bought the book twice because I bought it on Kindle and then bought it in paperback. But now my little collection is complete so far.
And then I bought Done and Dusted because I love the covers of this series. And they also, the author just released the third cover reveal for the third book in the series. And they're all so cute. So got that one and Switched and Saddled. And
then I got Vengeful, which is the second book in the Vicious, like it's called the Villains Duology, I think. And then what did you get?
I got Done and Dusted and Swift and Saddled.
Oh, yeah, you got, that's what you got. So, is that the book update? Oh, my question I was going to ask you. When you rate books, do you feel that you rate them, like, all books are on even footing? Or, like, do you rate them, like, within their genre?
I was just kind of thinking about that. I feel like I do where all books are on even footing. And, like, I have to have, like I just said, I'm liking Crooked Kingdom and likely will continue to like it more than Six of Crows. But, like, that's not enough to elevate it to, like, a 4.25 for me.
See, I feel like I rate it based off of the genre. Because, like, obviously, like, The Fury versus, like, ACOTAR, like, what am I going to recommend? Like, 10 times over, I'd recommend ACOTAR. But, like, I rated The Fury 5 stars. But I feel like the feeling that I get for, like, a 5-star read, it's going to be different for, like, a romantic mm-hmm. versus, like, a romance versus The Fury.
Speaking or
like
ACOTAR.
Versus, like, a mystery thriller. Like, you don't get the same feeling. Like, my romances, I know the feeling that I get. Where I'm just like, ah, this is 5 stars.
Haley has finished ACOTAR now. She has finished it. She loved it. She rated it 4.5 stars. Keep in mind, this girl, she deleted her TikTok. She's not really on BookTok anyways. Like, she knows
nothing
about what's to come. And Sierra and I have not tried to spoil or do anything. So after she finished the first book, I was like, I need to know your thoughts on the characters. So please let me know what you think. She sent a little voice memo sharing her thoughts. And I kind of was, you know, picking her brain about a couple things. And I was just like, okay, start book 2 immediately. Except she has to read The Fury because she's in our book club and she has not yet. But she said she's going to try and read both at the same time. So we'll see how she balances that out. But I need her and she'll listen to this podcast. But feel free to send like updates on your thoughts every few chapters. Just like as the book is evolving. Because Sierra and I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maggie is also reading The Fury because she's in the book club too. And then she's supposed to start ACOTAR next. She has bought a copy.
And then we're supposed to read Iron Flame.
And if you haven't read ACOTAR,
this is your reminder that you need to read it.
If you listen to the Broski Report, I'm sure she's already told you. You need to go read it.
That's the other thing is we got into like the Broski Report on our trip.
Yeah.
More so
I'm like, so Maggie, is she convincing you to read ACOTAR? She was going on like a little Iron Flame fourth wing tangent more than ACOTAR.
Who?
The Broski Report.
Oh, yeah.
And Maggie also just finished Iron Flame and she was saying, well, fine, if I'm going to read ACOTAR, you have to finish Iron Flame. I've never started it, but I haven't like set my sights back on that series. So I added it on my list. After I read Switched and Saddled, I'm going to intend to read Iron Flame. So.
That's the book update.
That's the book update.
Now we need to get into our recap. Let me check this on time right now. We're good. Okay. So we had a wonderful time going on a trip to St. Thomas and St. John in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We left Brighton early. Not Brighton early because it was still dark. Saturday morning, Maggie's dad actually drove us to the airport, which was really nice. And then our flight was just from Des Moines to Houston and then Houston to St. Thomas. So we got there, like, all things settled, like, in our Airbnb, probably, like, 4:35, would you say?
Well, we landed at, like, 4:30. So by the time we got to our Airbnb, it was probably, like,
5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
One thing you probably – I felt very, like, passenger princess on this trip. Both, like, I was legit, like, you know, riding shotgun the entire time. But, like, also, like, I didn't do any – planning, prepping, anything. I just showed up.
Sierra's
the Venmo. I barely even Googled anything about the island. I was
Sierra's
like, I'm just
the
showing up.
Friend.
And so you probably like looked up stuff more about like driving and stuff. I knew they drove on the left side of the road, but like
I mean that's all I freaking knew.
Like I don't know if I like I mean reading the books I like knew it's like, oh it's hilly there and like, you know, there's like some steep terrain when you're driving, but like I was like, dang, it is steep. Especially like I wish that we like could have you guys experience like the drive to our first Airbnb that we stayed at on St. Thomas. Like, it was off the main road. Like, the road to get down
Thank
to the
God
Airbnb.
Both our Airbnbs gave like worded instructions on like, this is how you're going to get to the house in the driveway, because like, there's not a lot of signage. If you've never driven there, like, you'd be like, there's no way this is the road I'm supposed to drive down.
Yeah. Like, we were like at the top of the hill, like looking, like legit, like having to like look over the dash. I'd be like, should we go down there? Because Megan's like, what if we get down there? And like, we're not supposed to go down there. We can't turn around. And like, how do we get back up? So that was all running through our minds. It was all fine. We ended up where we were supposed to be. It just didn't seem like we were supposed to be.
It was really kind of like once we familiarized ourselves with the unfamiliar territory, I started to get like a lay of the land and like
the growth. Yeah, and like the islands are small enough that like once you do it, like the first, you know, day or two, you're like, okay, like I get where things are at. I'm kind of getting the roads. The other thing is that I would venture to say, you know, of all the drives that we did and like, you know, the maps that we used like on our phones, we probably like made a wrong turn 75% of the time. 50 to 75%.
Every single time we drove and turned, we were wrong 50% of the time.
That's what it sounds like. No, like each trip, 50 to 75% of the time, I would say we had some error in our, like where we were supposed to go. Right?
Probably 50%.
Like, it was ridiculous because the road's there. And then Megan was getting mad because I could tell. It was like me and Maggie kind of taking turns like doing directions initially. And like Megan would be like, how did we like miss the turn? Because we'd be like, oh, like I think go straight here. Like, and it was like, you're supposed to turn. Anyways. And so one, what made it hard is like the roads are never hardly like right angles. And so it's like there's not really any turns. It's more like forks.
I also felt like in the road, it was kind of like delayed.
Yes. Because Megan witnessed this one time. And I was like, that is why we've been messing up so many times. You're witnessing it right now. Because it would say like the GPS one time specifically was like, turn left here. And so Megan was like, gonna start turning left. I was like, no, go straight. Like, and then turn left 10 feet from now.
Yeah.
And so it was just, you know, that was our direction map dilemma.
Renting a car went well. If you're going to the islands, like everything that I saw was kind of like recommending like rent a car. And so that's what we chose to do. And I would also say I'd recommend renting a car. Just gives you a little bit more freedom and flexibility to do things at your own pace. And I will say, like, when you're going to the beaches and stuff, I felt like oftentimes there was like parking lots or things around there that you could use. But then like when you're going in town, like
everyone's themselves.
Yeah, like I would try my best to preemptively like use Google Maps to try and figure out like parking options or parking situations. But especially like once you're in the town area, like they might all be full. And then you're kind of like, there's not really places to turn around very well, especially when you're like me and you're kind of just trying your best to get by. And so then you'd kind of like, you in the roads, they're one way, not one way roads, but like it's one lane each way. You're not really like, you just kind of got to keep going and figure out a spot to like turn around down the line, come back, try again. So that was like probably like one of the trickier things, but manageable. Helpful if you've got some people.
I would say like there were like for the most part in busier areas, we found a couple like designated like parking spots. You have to like pay for them.
Parking lots, yeah.
But it was like, you know, on St. John, there's like one right by Cruise Bay that we used a couple times and you could like walk down. Like there's like lots of shops and stuff and like restaurants there. And then on St. Thomas, like also kind of on like,
there's like a Red Hook parking lot called like, oh, there's an area called Red Hook, which is where like the ferries and stuff are. And there was like a shopping mall type of place. And there is technically a parking garage at like the ferry, which we were planning on using one day. And then it was full. And then I was like, how do I get out? And then I was going down one way, the wrong way. And yeah, there's just lots of like things like that.
Small things. Or it's like on St. John, like we were going to like get breakfast. Like they had like parking in front, but like all the parking is full. So it's just like, okay, we just kept driving and like looped around, and then like someone had left and we looped back around.
So then we pulled in.
And that was it.
It's just luck.
Okay. Let's start from like, I was also going to say,
you were just saying that made me think of something.
Like breakfast?
Oh. I was just going to bring up island time, but we can do that. That comes into play probably mostly at, like, the first restaurant I feel like we were eating at. But island time is a real thing. I don't remember thinking this at all when we went to, like, Hawaii, for example, or the Bahamas even. But the Bahamas, we were staying at, like,
a resort.
And U.S. Virgin Islands are not really, like, resort islands. There are hotels you can stay at. And maybe, like,
I like, there's, look, like, a Margaritaville resort. Yeah.
But, like, it's not... It's kind of meant to be done the way we did it, where it's like, you go, you're going around the island, you're trying to explore, and like, you're doing your own little DIY vacation, is how I would describe it.
Okay, so first day, we get there, we don't really do anything because it was dark, we were gonna maybe do delivery. I don't think anyone delivers to the Airbnb that we stayed at, which, you know, probably rightfully so, because it was kind of it's a trek to get out to that Airbnb. Also, just like trying to communicate, like, Maggie had called this pizza place and like was trying to like ask, like, if they delivered,
because we were giving them our address, but then, like, I don't know if it wasn't, he didn't know what we were saying or talking about, or it wasn't popping up to him, but he's like, you send me your pin, like, I'll text you and then you send me your pin. And Maggie was like after she got off the phone, she's like, should I do that? And we were kind of like, well, we're trying to give them our location anyway so they can deliver here, so I guess. And so then she did that, and then and they he's called, like,
we don't,
and like,
deliver.
And texted, and they were like, we don't deliver there.
Luckily, they had some ramen there, so we just ended up doing that. We could have, like, obviously, in hindsight, like, having gotten more used to the roads, like, we could have ventured out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of street lights, especially, like, to get out of the neighborhood. So we're like, I don't know, maybe we'll just, you know, stay in for the night, and then we can game plan what we want to do for the next days. I think that we did a really nice job, like, the night before, like, planning what to do for, like, the next day. Like, going on this trip, we had general ideas of, like, what we wanted to do, but we didn't really, like, make any, like, solid plans until, like, the day before and say, like, what are we feeling for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that worked out well. So first full day there, we ended up going to Megan's Bay Beach. That one you do have to pay to, like, get in and use. And it was, like, annoying because it was raining, kind of, like, it sprinkled.
And then it would get really hot and sunny. And then it would start pouring again. That happened on and off a little bit. So we were there for probably like 2 or 3 hours. And then
ate lunch there.
We were like, we cannot just keep getting like rained on and then dried off. We were not feeling it. So we left. We decided to go do a hike instead.
It's like hike is a loose term for it. It was still hard, honestly. But it was in like
called a Mermaid's Chair Trail. And it took us, 2 hours probably, and it was quite hilly, but essentially you're walking to, like, the westernmost part of St. Thomas, and you end up at, like, a little beach, and it was beautiful, except for when it was pouring rain, when we were hiking as well.
Also, so, like, because it's a gated community, you have to, like, go to this, like, security gate, talk to the security guard, and, like, kind of get checked in, I guess. And the security guard, like, gave us directions, which was, like, in our heads, simple enough, okay? Like, we didn't even take any directions to, like, get there, because we're like, we'll just walk and find it. We still don't remember if his directions were wrong, or if we just remembered them or interpreted them incorrectly, but we took, like, 2 or 3 wrong turns. Mm-hmm. And then it was pouring, and then we're like, do we turn around and just go back? That'd be embarrassing. And we ultimately decided to keep going, because we figured it would stop raining at some point, because it had been kind of raining on and off all morning. It did stop raining relatively soon, like after probably like 10, 15 minutes. And then, like, luckily the sun came out, warmed up, like we dried off pretty quickly. Finally, after like all of the turns that we could have possibly made,
we picked the last one
and then walked straight down. You want to give your little fun fact of what you think Mermaid's Chair, like the separation? She saw this on, like, one comment somewhere.
Something said that so the beach kind of looks like a mermaid's tail, and you have, like, a sandbar, basically, with, like, water on either side. One side is the Caribbean, and one side is the Atlantic. But obviously, once the water's all the way around the island, you know, it's just one thing. So, but I think that at those islands is when they kind of change the naming. No longer in the Caribbean anymore. So that was a good hike. I think it's one of the more popular ones on St. Thomas.
Also, see, this is like what's fun about like doing the podcast. We get to like tell you like the fun random details that like we didn't mention in the vlog. As we're walking back from the hike, there's two people that are like walking the opposite direction. And keep in mind, Maggie brought her speaker. This was a Benson Boone vacation. This was a
Benson Boone trip. And my Spotify playlist, because sometimes the service was spotty on the islands. I don't know if it was on the hike or not. But I have my on repeat, like I had it downloaded. So like we were playing the same playlist in the car, at the beach, over and over. And so it consisted of Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Benson Boone, sometimes the Jonas Brothers. And so we were walking. We had seen like no one on this hike the entire way there and on half the way back. And,
like, we're blasting our Benson Boone. Like, you can hear it, you know, decently well. Hence, like, the people walking past could hear our music probably. And we still debate.
I have a feeling now. He was just saying it was a ghost town there and but no one was there.
Isn't that so funny?
But this guy and his, I'm guessing, wife were walking past us and he's like, ghost town or something like that.
Yeah,
that's all he said. So I looked at my phone to be like, is ghost town playing? Like, I'm confused. Because like Benson Boone's on the come up. Like, and this guy didn't seem like the demographic for Benson Boone. So I was kind of going to be surprised if he was asking or kind of like giving a thumbs up to like my song choice. Like
the song, ghost town.
Because that was my first interpretation. And then I was like, it was what was the song that was playing. So I was like, that's not the song that's playing. So I was like, oh, he must be saying that like they haven't seen anyone either. It's a ghost town in this little private neighborhood. Because that's essentially what you're walking around in. And the Sierra saw me look at my phone and also internalize it as like he was asking or commenting on the music.
So he probably was just saying no one was there, it was a ghost town. But I was like, what are the odds that he has a song called Ghost Town? I feel like people use that phrase.
If you don't know Benson Boone, like the reason this was confusing was because he has a fairly popular song called Ghost Town.
And so,
and like, you don't really say ghost town very much.
We're just pondering that on the walk back. We're like, was he saying this is a ghost town or is he like ghost town, but then like wrong about the song? We'll never know, but that was a funny little thought.
Then we went to Sibs on the Mountain.
This one Megan has.
And this is no hate.
Megan can talk about island time and then I want to talk about people sitting behind us.
Okay. when we get there, there's a couple different entrances. We go in one of the entrances that like was less part of the bar area and had a sign that literally said, please wait to be seated. And we're sitting there waiting. And there's multiple workers that like walk past us, walk by us.
Like can see us.
They can see us standing there, make no comment to us. And I'm kind of like, I like to think I'm a patient person. And I'm like, they're busy. They're clearly like running out getting food. They come back and bring food in. But like they appear to be hostesses or could at least direct me to presumably where I should be. Because clearly I'm standing in the hostess area. There's a hostess thing off to the left-hand side and a sign that says, please wait to be seated. But no hostess there. Eventually, we ask, where should we be? Should we be somewhere else? And they direct us to around like the front outdoor patio area. There's another hostess stand. Okay, we go around. We wait at that stand. We're waiting for quite a while. No hostess to be seen. And I swear, like someone else that worked there had to like go around a corner to like grab the person that was supposed to be the hostess. And I mean, it just took a long time, you guys. Like longer than it should have. She was like, yeah, I'll get you guys seated as soon as I clear a table. It took 15 minutes to clear the table, I swear. And it was the same person who was, from as far as I could tell, she wasn't doing anything else. And then by the time we sat down at the table, like I was already kind of like, oh my God, this is taking forever. It slowly picked up when we were sitting down at the table, but like not a lot. And then there's also one thing. This was not really like the person's fault, but like there was also an ice cream place we went to. Ice cream was great, but like there was one person working and like the line got so long.
And this was like after we were like freshly sunburnt.
I was not doing okay. I was like feeling unwell and dehydrated and like I was gonna overheat.
It's okay. She felt better after the ice cream. but we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Back to the restaurant. There was a group of three in front of us. Coincidentally, the people that sat behind us, so that's who I'm telling the story about. And so like we're just kind of like taking like a look, just generally like you look forward, you know, when you're standing. And so it's a guy and two women, and the guy like has his hand like on like the backs of like both women, like rubbing like both of their backs. And so we're like, okay.
It's a non-traditional relationship.
Like, no judgment here. But it seems as if the man is with both of these women. And they get seated behind us. And I didn't hear like anything. I wasn't paying attention to the conversation until I heard like a woman approach who I initially thought was the waitress, which is why this comment like threw me so like off guard. And I was like, what? But it ended up not being the waitress. It was like someone else joining their group. Another woman, I might add. But he, the guy in the group, makes a comment of like, either like, oh, like you're really hot or like something about her appearance. And he's like, let me get your number of this woman. And she like rattles off her number. And I was like, what is going on back there? And so Sierra, I'm doing this thing. Yeah,
Sierra's like,
I'm sitting back. It's the opposite of that meme that we just saw the other day where it's like instead of leaning back to lean forward, I was leaning back. And I was like kind of like telling Sierra's Megan like, and Maggie. I was like, I'm trying to listen to this conversation. So like, don't worry about me. I don't have like a lot of juicy details. It's just it was my understanding and my interpretation from the conversation that this man must just date a lot of women. I don't know if he was married to one of them. Maggie like swears she heard.
I thought that the person on his left was his wife and then the person on his right seemed to be like his girlfriend. And honestly, I feel like the wife, like he was the one leading the conversation. I feel like the girl on the left, his maybe wife, was kind of like, my husband thought this would be a good fun idea.
Silly little Ray. Like he thinks
this. And then I swear the girlfriend knew the third girl that came
see,
in.
I swear, turn around.
Because like I could kind of see them. They were holding hands. I swear they were talking about like they were together.
And maybe they were. And she's like, you're coming into this
relationship. I don't know. It was interesting. Anyway,
so I was under the impression she made it sound, this new girl that had come in, like it almost felt like an audition to like join
their party.
I don't know, you call like a thruple is three, but like a quadruple. I don't know. And then I was so mad because like then she was only there for like probably like 10, 15 minutes and then she left. I don't know where she went, but like she left the conversation. She wasn't coming back. And I thought they were going to like have a debrief about her being there, but they didn't to my knowledge. So
that was our first day. Second day we went
I don't know if cockroaches might not be the right type of bug, but like they would be like, you know, outside and like there's like patio outdoor seating. And so like Maggie or you had said that you saw one when you were sitting at the restaurant and like my feet were up for the rest of the time. I was wearing Birks. I was like, if a bug that's this big crawls over my feet, I will scream and like run away. And that also happened at another restaurant that we were at.
Second full day, we went to, I want to say Sunshine Beach, but that's not it. But it starts with an S.
Sapphire Beach.
And that's a pretty commercialized beach.
This is where we got burnt. We got
fried. The UV index was 10.
We were there for 5 hours.
We were applying sunscreen, but we were kind of running out. And you need to use mineral sunscreen when you're there. That's all they sell. And we bought a spray version. And I just don't think the spray mineral sunscreen works very well because it kind of gets clogged up. And, you know, that was an issue for us.
And I think we're just like, oh, like, whatever. Like, generally, like, summers in Iowa, especially, like, if I get, like, a, you know, full-on spray with, like, just regular sunscreen, it's generally okay. It was not okay.
Not okay there.
That's why we ended up getting, like, lotion sunscreen. You and Maggie kind of reverted back to the spray. I stayed with the lotion. I was like, I am covering every square inch of my body.
So, that was our day there. We did ice cream before we went back to the Airbnb. And then the next day we went to Mountaintop. And that's like a lookout point on St. Thomas. You can see a bunch of the different islands. It's got a giant souvenir shop there. They're supposedly famous for their banana daiquiris, but we did not try any of that. And then we went to St. John on the car barge, which...
And Megan can debrief her car barge experience.
So, from what I've gathered, for anyone who may be considering going, I think there's two different companies that do the car barges, and one of them, I would recommend, like, personally for me, we use Big Red Barge, which is, like, all an open area that you back into. Obviously, you have to be comfortable backing into it, but, like, if I can do it, you could probably do it, because I was nervous about doing this. They have people guiding you. And sometimes I'm like, my car's beeping. Like, it is saying we're close and you're saying keep going. People are
like, go, go, go. You've got like 20 feet here. And you're like, I swear there's 2 inches of space.
I mean, they we did it, and they directed me to do it, and it was okay.
You can tell, like, they must get so annoyed doing this all day, and, like, they can probably, A, do this so easily, but then also, like, they're outside the car, and so
yeah, it's easy
they've
for
got,
them.
Like, more of a vantage point of, like, go, like, you're good, and, like, the person in the car is, like, I
the
don't
The other company, I don't remember what it's called, but, like, they have, I think their control station is, like, in the middle of the barge, and so, like, I swear you have to back your car around that, too, and then, like, into the back of the boat if you're to be, like, the first one on there. I would not do that. But, like, their schedules are online. It costs money to do it, but, like, if you're trying to go to St. John's and you got a car, the reason... This was actually kind of like part of why we were on St. Thomas longer than we anticipated. When we were planning this whole trip, I kept running into the issue and not finding a whole lot of answers on car rentals, because there's obviously car rentals on St. John, but I, from everything I could tell online and not wanting to run into an issue when we got there, I was not finding car rental places in St. John that were going to allow me, who's under 25, to rent their cars. And the last thing I wanted was to get over there and not have a car. So all I was seeing people say was, like, you could rent a car on St. Thomas and then do the car barge over. And so that's what we ended up doing. It ended up working out just fine. I may have, like, I haven't looked back to, like, actually see if this was accurate or not, because I was trying to reach out to car rental places on St. John in the midst of planning all this to see if they would accept me or not. And I either was getting delayed responses or also just running into the issue of by the time our plane landed in St. Thomas, the ferry schedule was already going to be, like, done for the day. So we were going to have to, like, stay in St. Thomas at least for one night anyways. So it just kind of ended up, like, all pointing to...
And then, like, Airbnbs are, like, you need a three-night minimum or two-night minimum or whatever.
So it all kind of just pointed to, let's do half the trip in St. Thomas, half the trip in St. John, with therefore forcing us to do the... car barge. Otherwise, they do have just a person ferry.
Yeah. Anyway, when we got to St. John, I think we all decided, like, that one definitely more like relaxed vibe compared to St. Thomas. It was probably, like, my favorite. I think it was all of our favorites compared to, like, if we had to compare the two. I will say, I don't know what your experience was, like, looking at stuff for, like, Airbnbs and, like, if it was just, like, price or, like, availability, but, like, we stayed on the eastern side of the island.
It would definitely be easier to stay.
You should just stay on the western side of the island if you're going to St. John. Like, everything is on the western side. It's, like, a 30-minute drive to go from one side to the other.
Granted, it's beautiful. It's a lovely drive.
And, like, we did a couple things, like, on the east side, but we definitely were like, okay, time to
trek on over, like, back to the other side. Still a good stay. Less crowded. There's, like, some wild donkeys all over the roads in the islands.
Some goats that like to sleep just, like, on the road.
And unfortunately, one sad thing was the second Airbnb we had was supposed to have an inflatable hot tub for our own personal enjoyment. And upon arrival, we were so burnt that I was like, it wouldn't even feel good to go in the hot tub right now. But I was looking forward to, you know, using it later on in this day. We show up after a full day at the beach, after our full first day there, and it's half deflated, and it ended up being that there was, like, a hole in it or something, so couldn't use it. It is what it is.
What did we do? I guess first full day there, what did we do? Like, oh, first night, night there, we went to Maho Bay Beach. I'm like, I literally just edited this vlog, I should know. That beach was nice. There were a lot of bugs on the beach. I still don't know. I mean, Maggie, for whatever reason, experienced, like, a lot of bugs, particularly on St. John. I thought there were bugs at Maho Bay Beach. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was time of day or whatever, but, like, I didn't really have any problems with bugs the rest of the trip on the island, but, like, Maggie did, and, like, I think she got, like, bug bites and stuff.
And it probably scarred her a little bit.
Yeah. But also, like I've said, like, I feel like Megan and I, in general, like, don't get bit a ton, like, just during the summer. I feel like I don't notice people be like, can you feel the bugs biting? And I'm like,
no,
I don't. But yeah,
on that beach,
that
I could,
mind,
though.
Maybe.
Yeah. I could.
I was like,
on that beach.
Oh, okay, I feel them. This is weird.
And then next day, we were trying to go to Trunk Bay Beach and the parking, like, that lot. And we got there, like, by 9, I swear, we were in the parking lot, and it's full already. So if you did want to go there, you either got to get lucky, be willing to park on the sides of the roads, or get there early.
Also, so we ended up going to Hawk's Nest Beach, which is like close by, just down the road. And that one was free. Weird enough, I don't follow Natalie Zasek or Greta Wilson or any of them.
Of course we know of them.
But like, I didn't know. Like, I don't go to their profiles regularly, but I think Maggie does follow at least one of them. And she's like, oh, like they're in St. John too. Like, they just got here. I was like, okay, cool. And then like, we're getting ready to leave Hawk's Nest.
Like, we're packing up our car. And
then Maggie's like, that was them. Like, they Jeep driving past us, like getting ready to park. And then I was like, I didn't see the car at all when they just drove by. And I was like, oh, was it? I believed her because I was like, I'm sure she recognized them. And so then like, we kind of like wait to see them like get out of the car. They pulled in like further down the parking lot. And like, I see just enough where it's like, okay, I think that is them. And like, I mean, I told them, I was like, I mean, are you a fan? Like, you could go say hi if you wanted to. Like, I didn't feel called to because I don't really watch them or follow them. Maggie was like, no, like, not really, like, I'm good. So we left. What else did we do that day?
Where did we then go? Then we went
to Gringo's.
Yeah.
That was a good restaurant.
That whole area over by Cruise Bay, it's got some good spots and like
close by.
Yeah.
Like, you can just walk around and find something.
Went and ate there, and then we went back to the Airbnb, I think.
Sounds right. There was also, like, we tried to do,
like, a little bit of shopping around there, because, like, that strip mall, it wasn't a strip mall, but, like, it was, like, a shopping area with some restaurants.
Outdoor shopping area.
And they had, like, a really, like, multi-level, I don't remember the name of the shop, but, and we didn't get anything, but, like, they had some, it was a place that was, like, definitely, like, a boutique, and had, like, some high-end stuff. There was some Vuori in there, there was some Roxy RVCA, they had, like, L Space Swim. It was, like, oh, expensive.
We were, like, walking around hearing someone, like, she was like, it's so hot here, like, you'd think I'd be used to it since I've been here since November. I was like, okay, girl, you don't need to tell us you're rich.
Then we went back to the Airbnb the last full day that we're at now.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, because this night was when Maggie was like, can we please go back to the Airbnb and just eat our food and watch Broski Report? And we were like, yes. Yeah.
Last day, we went to Cinnamon Bay Beach, partly inspired by the beach mentioned in our book, and I didn't realize how commercialized it was, but it was honestly kind of a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. There's like a place, it's a campground slash there's like a general store there,
a breakfast,
there's
place.
A breakfast, I mean, place,
like breakfast, lunch, like whatever
time, and they have like some food trucks, things you can do, like rent beach chairs and stuff. So it was a nice welcome surprise to kind of be like, okay, this is our spot for the day, and we have like access to whatever we may need. And so we hung out there, did quite a bit of reading, did a little bit of swimming,
and then guess who would show up? Natalie and
we go for a walk along the beach, Greta, and we see and then them, the three of them.
I don't know who else they were with.
At least two of them had tripods pulled out. I was just like, props to you. And I mean that seriously.
You know what's funny? It's like we're walking along the beach, and then like I was just like, you know, looking around at the people on the beach, and I see like a group of girls, and like they have like their swimsuits and like linen pants. I was like, oh, you can tell, like, you know. And there's not people that aren't our age, but like
it definitely wasn't,
it's not like a bunch of like young people.
No.
On the Virgin Islands was the vibe that I got, like lots of families, lots of like older couples and stuff. And so I was like, oh, like young, like girls like our age. And then I was like, is that them?
And it was. So that was, and then we went on a sunset cruise that evening. A little bit hard to figure out where we were all supposed to meet at, but we figured it out. And that was a good way to end the trip. So, and then travel back was pretty uneventful. I honestly, like the travel day back, I was just like, we just need to do the Carf Barge Ferry one more time safely without me hitting anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are returning this car without anything.
And it's out of my
hands. This was the first time I've ever, the gas stations we went to, which we only filled up gallon gas twice, but you go in and pay, which obviously you can do here, like, but I never have. I always pay at the pump. And so I kind of like, I knew what to do. I was like, can I get $30 on this pump? And then I paid my card, and then I go out and start pumping gas. And I'm kind of like, I was just guessing how much I was going to need to pay. And I ended up filling up like $22 worth before it was like, okay, the car's full. So then it stopped filling up with gas. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just out $8 now. Okay. Awesome.
And the guy comes like out.
And the guy's like, we're getting ready to leave. And the guy from the store comes out and is like, are you going to come Get your money.
Mine's like, I've never done this before. But yeah, I guess I will. That reminded me, I thought I was going to say something else, but now I don't remember.
Okay. Now we can just kind of like give any generalizations, overall thoughts, or any comparisons, if we have any comparisons for other trips.
So all said and done, I would say, I feel like we've mostly been comparing this to Hawaii because it's like our most similar vacations we've taken. So Meg and I have been to both Maui and Oahu.
First, like if we were just like to give it a rating out of 10, what would we rate this trip?
I think I would say 7 out of 10.
That's what I was going to say. A nice, safe, good number. We definitely enjoyed ourselves, but like it wasn't the best vacation I've ever been on. Like there's probably things could have done differently, but all said and done, I think 7 out of 10 is fair.
So like we were comparing like with ourselves, like if we, how we would rank the U.S. Virgin Islands between Maui and Oahu. And so Meg and I both agreed we liked the U.S. Virgin Islands more than Maui, but less than Oahu.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you have never had the privilege of going to Hawaii in general, but like Oahu specifically, and I know some people like to say go to like the less busy islands. Oahu's super busy, super crowded. Like, and I've only been to two of the islands, okay? But I enjoyed Oahu so much. I think it's worth going there, honestly, first to experience like that and go to the North Shore. Like, it is so beautiful, too.
My biggest gripe with Maui, and maybe this was, like, I don't know if it was time of year. Like, we technically went a little bit earlier. We were, like, in Oahu in July, and it was, like, January, February.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that affects the weather, because as far as I know, it's, like, the same year-round. But, like, it was a lot windier in Maui, especially, like, that one harbor, whatever we went to, it was, like, technically, it was, like, oh, this is the windiest harbor in the world. And yeah. I was, like, that tracks, because, wow. Just made everything cold, and I was like, I don't want to be cold. We were like in that walking area where it's like chairs are flying. It's crazy. I feel like the beaches were like just so much better on Oahu than Maui.
Oahu had the best beaches I've ever been to in my life. They were picturesque, they were lovely, they were great. I feel like the hiking options are probably better. I can only
really
speak to St. Thomas
for. Oh, I was talking about in Maui. That was a good hike.
True. Hard. True. That's the best hike I've ever been on.
Yeah.
In Maui. Waihea Ridge Trail. Must, if you're up for that kind of stuff, you need to do that hike. I think there were better hikes if we wanted to do them on St. John.
We didn't
but
do
at that point, as many I hikes. Already had gotten some blisters from the first hike that we did that I kind of tapped out on doing any more hikes. But I do think that like St. John is like, more so like the national park that has like a little bit better options for hikes, so maybe we should have held off, but we didn't. And then Oahu, like we did, I know they have like the crater hike there that we did not do, and then we did like a pillbox trail hike or whatever it's called. That was like fair, it was fine, but like it wasn't anything to like write home about. It was hard though, I remember that.
Anything uphill is gonna get
you're kind
me.
Of like dang, I'm it's winding. Any other things I would say? I did feel pretty safe on the islands. You don't need a passport. It's a U.S. territory. So, like, in that sense, everything's familiar. Everyone speaks English. It's a very familiar, comfortable setting. It's very touristy. Or, like, you don't, like, there's a lot of tourists there. So, like, there are obviously people that, like, are native and local that live there and work there, but like there's a lot of people that are visiting and you don't feel like you're like the odd one out or anything like that. So
I agree.
Yeah, I would say a lot of people are like, would you go back again? It's like, I would say yes.
I always feel like negative saying always, this stuff, because I'm like, well, I wouldn't go back anywhere again.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna add my little dichotomy of like, I always like to continue exploring different places, because it, not that it's a waste of money to like go back to the same place you already visited, especially if you loved it, but I always like to try going other places because I'd rather go somewhere I've never been before.
It's like, unless it's like just a general conversation, but like for Florida, for example, it's like you can go to the same place in Florida, doesn't matter. Usually if I'm going to Florida, I just want to go to a beach, versus like this is a trip where it's like we're going somewhere.
Like the point is to go somewhere, and it's kind of like to go somewhere new is the point.
Yeah. So where to next? Who knows?
kind of Costa Rica's kind of climbing up my radar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea when, but it'd be fun, especially because I'm like, I say that because I just got a little Chase Sapphire card and I'm going to have some points to be using possibly. So if that could pay for my flight, Costa Rica, from what I was looking at, kind of has some really incredible Airbnbs for not that expensive. I think it's just one of those countries where like the lodging isn't very expensive. So that's kind of why it's climbing up on my radar. If you've ever been,
especially like, imagine like you're like a big group of people, like that could be,
it could be, who's the group of people?
I don't know.
Book club trip.
Book club to Costa Rica.
That would be so funny.
If my book club listens, actually, I don't know if anyone besides Hillian.
We just text and say, book club to Costa Rica.
We read a book. We do like what we did with Maggie, but like, oh, we have to read this book in the setting. Find a book based in Costa Rica. That's your next book club rec.
And then whoever wants to join me on a trip to Costa Rica.
I really wanted to immerse myself in this experience, in this read. So I will be going to Costa Rica while I read it. Feel free to join. Pitch into my Airbnb.
It'd be funny. Okay. That concludes the trip. And yeah. You can see
if hopefully this you guys enjoy this a little bit more. If this wasn't enough. To share more information than just like what we vlogged. So
if this wasn't enough, or at least you want like a visual, we've got our vlogs up. So you can go see that.
And that's all we've got for you. If you are watching this on YouTube and you have not yet subscribed, please do so. It helps us out. If you haven't followed us on Instagram, it's just at according to, all spelled out, no numbers. Just feel free to interact with us. It's always fun when we can like actually talk to you guys. You know, we're having this one-sided conversation right now. We want to hear from you.
Okay. We will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Bye.